Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, March 25th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
World Vision calls for more funding to address food shortages in Southern Africa as a third of Zimbabwe's population faces the worst drought in two decades.
Villagers in Manicaland province claim that food aid is being distributed only to ruling ZANU-PF supporters.
The distribution of foods is along political party lines. Mutasa falls under a district administrator whose appointment is solely along political partisan lines. That on its own is a prejudice to all the people in Mutasa.
Family reunions and spiritual rejuvenation marked Good Friday today as Zimbabweans celebrated the start of the Easter holiday.
Today we went to church in the morning for Easter service. It was Good Friday. The preacher was talking about Jesus crucified in today. And after that we went home for lunch.
Constitutional experts say President Robert Mugabe's succession may end up in Zimbabwe's courts.
What we did not foresee when we were drafting the constitution is a situation where the party which is ruling is divided into two or more factions which are equally powerful. The question is which faction supplies the name.
And Zimbabwe's warriors settle for a draw with Swaziland in the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations Group L qualifiers.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
World Vision has called for more funding to address food shortages in Southern Africa as Zimbabwe says more than a third of the country's population faces the worst drought in two decades. In a statement, Beatrice Mwangi, the World Vision Southern Africa Region Resilience and Livelihoods Director, said thousands of children in Zimbabwe and across Southern Africa are slipping into malnutrition and death. Mwangi said many are not going to school due to hunger and this represents a big loss to the communities and countries across the region. Mwangi added that if there is no positive response in funding, more children are expected to be malnourished while some may die. An El Nino-induced drought has hit Zimbabwe, which last month appealed for $1.6 billion in aid to help pay for grain and other food. The country says the number of people requiring food aid has risen to 4 million, up from 3 million initially projected at the beginning of February when President Robert Mugabe declared a state of disaster due to drought.
In a related development, villagers in Manicaland Province's Mutasa District say they are facing serious hunger in an area where food is allegedly being distributed along political lines. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo is more.
Mutasa resident Linet Mdewe, who is also a human rights activist, says people are in desperate need of food.
Manicaland's Mutasa district has been severely affected by the drought. There haven't been sufficient rains. Thus, the crops did not fare well. Our maize fields are dry, and that means we are having a drought. And as I speak, the people of Mutasa are suffering from a drought. They don't have food and they need food supplements from the government of Zimbabwe and any other partners who can assist to feed the people of Mutasa.
She adds that the little food aid being distributed by the government and relief agencies is only benefiting individuals allegedly linked to the ruling party.
The distribution of foods is along political party lines, and I'll start from the governance issue. We have got structures in government. Provincial administrator, we have got district administrators, and Mutasa falls under a district administrator whose appointment is solely along political partisan lines. That on its own is a prejudice to all the people in Mutasa, because the people in Mutasa have got different political affiliations. However, assistance to food has got no political affiliation, or rather, I'll say it must not have any political affiliation. The government of Zimbabwe belongs to every Zimbabwean, regardless of their political affiliation. But because the appointment of these officials, the district administrator, is along political lines, there is a serious bias towards the ruling party members, and they are benefiting.
These allegations were neither confirmed nor denied by the ruling party. President Mugabe recently said no Zimbabwean should be denied food for political reasons. Another villager, Edwin Sigauke, insists that state food is being distributed only to ZANU-PF supporters, adding that this amounts to corruption.
Hunger
is deported and the way food is distributed is worsening it. And also only a few bags of maize are given to many households to share. That makes it inadequate. I see this problem not ending until it is addressed by the powers that be.
Miriam Dube, who also lives in Mutasa district, says some villagers are now trading their livestock for maize grain in Wonde Valley, where the food situation is under control. Wonde Valley lies in agroecologically Region 1, while some parts of the drought-ravaged Manicaland province are in the least productive natural Region 5. Some villagers like Winnet Samanga are also competing for food with the baboons that are constantly sneaking into households to grab the little grain sourced by local people. She says that hunger is forcing some hungry women and girls to engage in prostitution.
The plight of the people is being made worse by prying animals, taking away our chickens and grating our grain. We had a situation where prostitution has risen in the past few months in the communities, as people are desperate to make ends meet.
Manicaland Provincial Affairs Minister Mandi Chimene recently told journalists in Mutare that the government would ensure that no citizen is going to starve, but the situation on the ground looks almost getting out of control. Local parliamentarians and school headmasters say large numbers of students are dropping out of school or others faint in classes due to hunger. Other areas affected by the devastating drought fueled by the El Nino weather phenomenon are Buera, Chimanemani, Chipinge, and Nyanga communal lands. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutasa, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Joy to the world, He is risen. Alleluia, He's risen. Alleluia.
Family reunions and spiritual rejuvenation marked Good Friday today as Zimbabweans celebrated the start of the Easter holiday. Christians celebrate Good Friday in commemoration of Jesus Christ's death. Many will observe a vigil night tomorrow, while Easter Sunday will see the faithful celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Some of the Zimbabweans who spoke to Studio 7 said they were struggling to buy foodstuffs associated with Easter due to the current drought gripping Zimbabwe. Tande Kozinti Mkandla, who is a minister of religion, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube there are few family feasts this Easter holiday.
My Easter message to everyone is that may they enjoy it after having taken into consideration that God loves everyone, even those that make us feel very bad. God will always take care of our problems. Secondly, we wish the whole world peace and tranquility in this hour. And all those that are traveling, may they travel in the peace of mankind. God bless each and every one of us all.
Now, when you're looking at Easter this year, how is it compared to other years?
Well, Easter in the context of a Christian is just a year in, year out ritual, if one may say. But in terms of society, it's a difficult period for those who would have loved to have been together with their loved ones wherever they are. Because of the economics of the country, people are stuck wherever they are. And with the non-availability of the rains, which came very late, there is nothing in the field. Remember, normally during this hour, people will be eating some green mealies, pumpkins, and what have you. But this time is a very sad situation.
So are you telling us that people did not even slaughter any goats or, you know, chicken and all those kind of things?
Well, how can they slaughter a goat under these circumstances? I don't know, one or two may have done so, but the majority of the people are surviving in abject poverty. And the goats that they have cannot just be slaughtered willy-nilly. They have to save them for very hard times that are ahead. I don't believe that anybody would slaughter a goat just for Easter, as we used to. These are different times, my brother. Times are really hard.
That was Tunde Kozinti Nkandla, a minister of religion, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Matabeleland South Province.
Studio 7's Chiwaniso Jani also spoke to some Zimbabweans about the Easter holiday.
My name is Sandra. Usually we go for church morning service, then we get back and gather with family and relatives, and we have a big lunch over.
Is there anyone you want to greet today?
Well, I would like to greet my mom, my cousin, Latour, then those who are in Italy, my husband, and my kids as well. And I also love to wish myself a happy birthday. I turned 30.
Any special words for Easter?
I just want to tell everyone to thank the Lord for dying for our sins on the cross and for us to have fun, but clear and find the limitations, knowing where we should head.
My name is Peggy Sipo. I would like to greet every Zimbabwean in Zimbabwe. Present, I'm just from a church. I'm sitting in the house watching TV. I wish them the best of luck. Yeah, present, I'm just busy. I'm doing some work, doing some welding. I don't think that I'll have time to go home now, because I'm just busy. I'll get, if I'm free, then I'm just going to go home, see my friends, my mom, my brothers, and everybody there whom I know, actually.
Hello, this is Pastor Emma from Zimbabwe. I want to greet you, man of the word. I want to greet my sister Francisca, Sister Lorraine, my brother Chido, my brother Tendai in Zimbabwe here in Africa. Today we went to church in the morning for Easter service. It was Good Friday. The preacher was talking about Jesus crucified in today. And after that, we went home for lunch. And we are going back for Easter service tonight around 6 p.m. We want to thank God for Easter. This is a special day for us Christians, and we want to thank God for that. Thank you.
My name is Sandekata Umasolani. I'm in Zimbabwe. Right now, we are celebrating our Easter holiday in Mount Darwin. And I'm a youth, and I just want to encourage all my youth, my generation, to stay cool and enjoy the youth and celebrating the death of our Christ Jesus, who died for us. I love you all.
Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world.
Coming up,
a closer look at constitutional issues relating to President Robert Mugabe's succession. Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. forces have killed Hajin Iman, an Islamic State finance minister also responsible for the terrorist group's external affairs, Secretary of Defense Ash Carter said Friday. Carter would not say whether Iman was killed in Iraq or Syria, nor would he say whether the leader was killed in a raid or an airstrike.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is having meetings with Belgian and European Union leaders in Brussels, expressing the condolences of the United States for all those who had their lives cut short or were injured in Tuesday's attacks in Brussels.
U.S. President Barack Obama returned to the White House after a trip to Latin America that included a stop in Argentina and a historic visit to Cuba, where he met with President Raul Castro.
And the Taliban suicide bombers have assassinated a senior army general and his bodyguard in Afghanistan's southern Kandahar province, Afghan officials said today.
We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Some experts say Zimbabwe's constitution is inadequate in addressing President Robert Mugabe's succession. They argue that with serious factionalism ravaging the former liberation movement, the Speaker of Parliament can end up with several nominees for the presidential post if President Mugabe is incapacitated or dies in office. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
While the position of the succession of the president may appear clear in terms of the constitution, experts say divisions and serious infighting in the ruling ZANU-PF party could lead to a chaotic succession process if he dies, resigns, or is removed from office. According to Section 101 of the Constitution, if the president dies, resigns, or is removed from office, the first vice president assumes office as president until the expiry of the former president's term. This section is, however, suspended until 2023. According to the sixth schedule of the Constitution, which covers the first 10 years of the Constitution, if a president dies, resigns, or is removed from office, the vice president, who was last nominated to act as president, automatically becomes acting president for 90 days. During the period, the ruling party must nominate a person to become president after the 90 days. According to the 6th schedule, section 14, subsection 5, a political party which is entitled to nominate a person in terms of subparagraph 4b must notify the speaker of the nominee's name within 90 days after the vacancy occurred in the office of the president, and thereupon the nominee assumes office as president after taking the oath of president in terms of section 94, which oath the nominee must take within 48 hours after the speaker was notified of his or her name. University of Zimbabwe law lecturer Professor Lovemore Maduku says the constitution is problematic because it doesn't define what ZANU-PF or the ruling party is. He says given the divisions in ZANU-PF, the speaker could end up having many nominees for the post of president. He says that allows the other contestants to approach the cause either to block that person from being sworn in or challenge that person's ascendance to office. Douglas Monzora, Opposition Movement for Democratic Change Secretary General, who is a lawyer and one of the drafters of the Constitution, admits that they never anticipated that the appointment of a substantive president could be rendered impossible by dysfunctional factional politics.
What we did not foresee when we were drafting the constitution is a situation where the party which is ruling is divided into two or more factions which are equally powerful. The question is which faction supplies the name. For example, the G40 may supply a name, and then the next minute the Lacoste team supply a name, and then the next team, whatever, supplies another name. The drafters of the constitution did not envisage that situation.
Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum Director Lloyd Kuvea says the situation clearly points to a chaotic succession process.
If the president, first of all, does not control the factionalism, the infighting that is currently going on within his party, we are going to have chaos on our hands. And especially if the president is no longer in power as a result of death.
Professor Maduku concurs, adding that the best way for the country would be to amend the constitution as soon as possible. He says that when the president dies, there should be an acting president and Zimbabwe goes to a by-election to elect a substantive president. Monzora shares the same sentiment, saying it's not too late and Zimbabweans must make this a top priority.
The public should agitate for a clear succession plan, a clear succession policy. And this can be done through an act of parliament, because an act of parliament which clarifies a grey constitutional area is not unconstitutional. It is actually constitutional. So there must be an act of parliament now which deals with a situation where the supply of the president by a factious party is impossible.
But ZANU-PF member who worked with Monzora in drafting the constitution, Paul Mangwana, said ZANU-PF is one party and there was no way it would provide many candidates for the presidency. ZANU-PF activist Oswald Tapona, while admitting the current factional fighting in the ruling party, believes there will be a smooth transition.
The constitution is clear. It says that if the president dies or is incapacitated, the last acting president will take over for 90 days. Then the concerned party, for instance, ZANU-PF, will hold a congress where they will choose their candidate to represent the party. So in this case, ZANU-PF is one. There won't be any problem.
But whichever way it goes, political commentator and media center director Ernest Muzengi says the succession process will be manipulated, especially by the military.
The person who may have been the last acting president may actually take advantage and consolidate power in this current scenario.
But Kuvea believes that the military is unlikely to do anything to upset the structure of power. Two Southern African countries, Zambia on two occasions and Malawi, have witnessed the smooth successions following the death of sitting presidents. Zimbabwe has had one leader, President Robert Mugabe, since independence from British rule in 1980. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. flags have been lowered to half-staff throughout the United States, its embassies and bases, as a sign of respect for the victims of terror attacks that killed at least 30 and injured more than 200 in Brussels. The thoughts and prayers of the American people are with the people of Belgium, said U.S. President Barack Obama.
We stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people. We will do whatever is necessary to support our friend and ally Belgium in bringing to justice those who are responsible.
The tragedy occurred during the morning rush hour Tuesday when Brussels was rocked by three blasts, two at the Zaventem airport and one at the Malbik train station. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the coordinated attacks. The notion that any political agenda would justify the killing of innocent people like this is something that is beyond the pale, President Obama said in an interview with the press. We are going to continue with the over 60 nations that are pounding ISIL and are going to go after them. Leaders from Europe and the broader international community have responded to the attacks with similar messages of solidarity and condemnation. This is yet another reminder that the world must unite, said President Obama.
We must be together, regardless of nationality or race or faith, in fighting against the scourge of terrorism. We can and we will defeat those who threaten the safety and security of people all around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe Warriors drew 1-1 today with Swaziland in a 2017 Africa Cup of Nations Group L qualifier match at Somhlolo Stadium. The result means that Swaziland remain on top of the group, tied on 5 points with the Warriors, but leading Group L due to a superior goal difference. If the Warriors win their next match, they will be on top of the group, making it easy for them to travel to Guinea for the Africa Cup of Nations finals. Warriors fans say the draw was the least expected result from the national soccer team, which was rocked by a match-fixing scandal before the game.
Zimbabwe Sungura music guru Alick Machesu has once again sent the nation talking, proving that he is not a spent force after all. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
This follows the release of his latest offering, Toka Zevendo, which is on course of breaking all records after selling over 100,000 copies on its first day of release. With only a few days on the market, Toka Zevendo could break the highest selling record, which Machesu also holds, after his other recording, Simbarazo, sold over 300,000 copies to break the 180,000 copies record previously held by Leonard Jakata's Maruwa Enyika, released in 1994. Those people who have bought the new album or have taken their time to listen to it say the recording is a blockbuster, and one of them is entertainment critic Richmond Terra. Terra says this is a well-done project, considering the fact that people were taking Macheso as a spent force.
This is a well-done project, considering the fact that people were taking Macheso as a spent force.
Terra adds that the response the album has received so far has shown that Macheso is still the king of Sungura music.
Considering the reception that the album is currently receiving, its wide rotation, it shows that the man is indeed still in the game and is still the king of Sungura.
Following Simbarazo and Marwa Enyika is the third highest selling album in Zimbabwean history, Chitekete, from the late great Leonard Nembo, which sold around 120,000 copies during its entire period on the market. However, Macheso's latest album has already passed that mark. Already the recording, he started dominating play in commuter omen buses and in drinking places. Each public announcement coming later this evening could dominate homes as well. The recording features 6 songs, with the most popular being Kurarama Inyasha. Other being Baba. Other hits are Mnyaradzi, Mude Mude, Gungwa, and Wandrangaridza. Macheso produced his latest offering himself and is also doing the marketing and distribution himself. To discourage the public from buying pirated copies, Baba Shero has pegged the recording's price at a modest and affordable $1. Macheso last recorded in 2012 when he released Magariro. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
That was Gungwa, the music of Alec Macheso, going out to you from Studio 7 here at the Voice of America.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our host will be talking with listeners and experts about the Easter holiday. If you wish to join the discussion, call us at 001-202-619-2077. The number again, 001-202-619-2077, or send a WhatsApp message.
And now to recap today's top stories. World Vision calls for more funding to address food shortages in Southern Africa as a third of Zimbabwe's population faces the worst drought in two decades.
Villagers in Manicaland province claim that food aid is being distributed only to reeling ZANU-PF supporters.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good Easter holiday.